You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com, to listen to past programs and find real estate information. Call me after the program at 452-2428. 452-CHAT. Welcome back. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Went to a house on East Pedregosa. I think it's 125 East Pedregosa. It's a fun place to walk by. You can't go on the property. It's tenant occupied. Nine steps to get up to the house. I mean, talk about a raised foundation. This is an old, old, just charming, beautiful house. And it has been broken up into six rental units. Now, this is a wonderful, you know, 125 East Pedregosa. This is a really nice area. And it's a huge parcel. And it's set way, way back from the street. And two of the six have vacated. And it's kind of a mess. But someone's going to take it and make it something really special. That was over on Caravan. Now, another one was on Glendasary Road, which is a really, really unusual kind of a private road house down at the end of, but just past the Mission, before you get to Foothill Road there on Mission Canyon. And this has three houses. First of all, it's on a flag lot, so you're driving down this long driveway. Flag lot, for those of you in Carpinteria, that's where your parcel does not face the street. You don't have any frontage. And you have what ostensibly is the flagpole being the driveway. And you drive down there, and then you get the flag being the parcel. So it's located behind other properties. Anyway, it was we got in to see two of the houses. The third house was occupied. Three little houses, kind of a, like someone said, think Ashland, Oregon. You don't think you're in California. Big two-car garage with a second story on top. Just very funkadelic. Very, very cool. We had some, so it was a good time on Caravan. As we're going around Caravan, we're looking at all these signs. We had an actual email sent to the Association of Realtors from the mayor regarding the sign ordinance, because I guess, I don't know what precipitated this. I know I've talked about, I actually have a set of distances where you can legally put open house signs the right of way from Caltrans, and you know they're constantly on their roads, Cliff Drive and Foothill Road and those kind of roads. They come around in midweek, they'll pick up the signs. They don't like them sitting on the corners. So there's literally, like, parts of Foothill Road as you go from 154 all the way to the fire station, it changes. Right away, it gets smaller and it gets larger. So I don't know if anyone's going to have a tape measure out there, but they do pick up the signs. Sundays, sometimes they let you go. And then they take them to sign jail over on Upper State Street. And you can go get them back. So our tax dollars at work. It's just, I mean, look, for the most part, 99% of the time, real estate agents are very good about placing their signs, although occasionally you see them in the street and in not such great locations, but that's very rare, I think. So somehow the city got involved, and there's a sign ordinance. All signs in the city of Santa Barbara must have a permit except exemptions, and there are 24 different exemptions. But she related only two that relate to real estate. So if you have a temporary sign, I'm sure there's one for garage sales as well. If you have a temporary sign which indicates that a property is for sale, rent, or lease, only one sign is allowed on each street frontage of the property. So therefore, if you have a corner house, you can put two up. It may be single or double face. It's limited to 3 square feet. Or less. And I immediately thought, oh, well, gosh, our signs are larger than that. But they're not. They're 3 square feet.
I
And then commercial is 12 square feet on a commercial property, non-residential. And the second one are the temporary open house signs. Now, only one sign is allowed on each street frontage of the property. Well, that's not adhered to. Sometimes you get a couple trying to grab people, cars parking. And maybe single, double face, 3 square feet. Shall not exceed, the structure shall not exceed 4 feet in height. Sometimes you see open house signs put on the top of cars, which I think is okay. So that can be a little dangerous, actually. It flies off in the wind, hits some little munchkin and damage the paint on your car. And shall contain only the address of the property and the name of the real estate agent. Signs shall be erected, removed on the day of the open house, and shall not be fastened. So isn't that fascinating? There's your little sign update. And we have a man on the phone who is the cause of some of these signs, not fines, because he keeps building condos, and then they go on the market. Good morning, John Blankenship.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
I have a tweaked spinal little injury here, and I took one Advil at 5 to 11, and it seems to have shut down the discomfort, but it's kind of manifesting itself in my neck, and I have to find Dr. Creddy, my retired chiropractor.
Well, I can trump you on that. I just had back surgery in April, a hip replacement in May, and then I just broke the hip replacement, so I'm just out of the hospital. So with all three of those things, I've got some medical problems, but...
Well, and you're a trooper for getting and joining us this morning on this July 4th weekend special. I appreciate you getting on the phone. Now you were in this most recent. I see you had surgery, elective surgery, but then you were getting out of a car and you rebroke your hip or your femur.
Rebroke the femur. I mean, yeah.
Okay,
right
now
over the new hip. So anyway.
Now let's just get though to the meat of this.
Okay.
Was it? Because my understanding was that there was someone was involved in the breaking of your leg.
Oh, no, not at all. My little dog, little Scotty, I was carrying her, and so tripped on something and went down and would have killed the dog had I landed on her.
Now, for the record.
Yeah.
Who broke your leg?
Yeah, me.
Was it Marty Blum or Mickey Flax?
Well, they've broken a lot of other bones and killed a lot of brain cells, but not on this particular one.
Well, I hope you're recovering and doing somewhat well. You're only a week into it. So, God, that's awful.
Yeah,
my mom had hip surgery, and the guy didn't measure properly, and he stuck in a new ball joint in her hip, and he made one leg about 2-3 inches longer than the other. I mean, significantly. Maybe 3 inches, but maybe... Yeah. You know, even an inch would be pretty dramatic, and she's got to wear lifts. It's awful.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine, and I've got an excellent doctor, and but I want to tell you, it's always a pleasure to be on your program, and
welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome back. What struck me to call you, well, one of the things I mentioned in the first segment, we were talking about building, and I did mention that you always want to build under 10 units, is it?
Yes. I want to avoid the affordable.
Yeah, well, why don't you explain that?
Well, I think the affordable thing is fine as long as the city does it and they own the property. It's really a burden on private little entrepreneurs or builders out here to take what is something that's become extremely expensive to build, to do is construction, and basically give it away. And hope to have enough units to pay for that. And I just don't see how the numbers work. So I would like to stay at below 10 because then I avoid that affordable component.
And that is in the city of Santa Barbara. If one builds more than 10 units, you're required then to do
15%.
What?
So the county is 25%. The city is 15%. So it means like one unit or two units probably would be, if you did 10, they would give you a bonus density and you would do maybe 12, but two of those would be affordable. So
right, so you might as well
Well, you're basically giving those away, and it's usually the economic impact, especially if you hit a market where we've got this 16 interest rate rises in a row, it really hurts you. So, because it's so difficult to build anyway.
Well, you know, I was talking about that too in the first segment, and I was talking about prime rate, and we were talking about entry-level buyers and the basic end result of mortgage rates going up, but prime rate, how does that affect, that affects people like you?
Yes, it does. It dramatically, because if I've got my entry-level units, which is I try to focus on in the infill sector of what I'm doing, because everybody else is at high end. It's easy to be at $1.5 million or $1.6 million, but to be below $1 million, it's say $7 to $8 million, it really affects those buyers because they're the ones that are under, their interest rates are put under more severe scrutiny to, you know, measure up for the loans, even though there's a lot of different loan vehicles now for people, but they still have a hard time qualifying. So it's much easier on the high-end folks. They're not affected by it so much because a lot of those people are a lot of cash, and where the interest rate, it doesn't affect them in the same way that a young couple that's both earning, you know, both trying to earn money, they have to reach certain certain levels of income to be able to afford a particular mortgage, and those have just steadily gone up.
The numbers for the first 6 months of this year, of 06, of closed condos are 160. That represents, from the first 6 months of 05, a 34% drop in the number of sold condos for the first 6 months of the year. First 6 months of the year of 05, it was 242. Then the second 6 months of 05... it dropped to 207, 14% drop.
Okay.
And now the first 6 months of 06, it dropped down to 160. Now, if I check in a week or two, that 160 number might become, you know, 165,
right,
or even 170, because people are, you know, they'll report some that might not have done, but it shouldn't be too far off. So that's a big drop.
Yes, it is. And you just see it with the amount of people out on the weekends going to open houses. And it's, other than the curiosity of seeing particular projects, say like the one that makes a big splash on down there at Modoc and Hollister, Las Viejas Palmas or Palmas Viejas or whatever, those kinds of, everybody wants to go see that new product, but when you're on, say, the lower west side or lower east side, it's just less of a turnout.
Right, right. Now, you have a new project over on, is it West Pedregosa?
It is 319 West Pedregosa. We've got six units there. It's sort of a medium-range product, but still below $1 million. Very nicely done with wood floors and so on, but the P.J. Milliken cabinets. But it's that entry level still again. So
it's a lot below $1 million, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we got a front house on it that is 1,500 square feet, actually two master baths in it, and a fireplace, and a two-car garage, and it's detached from the rest of the units. So that's more like a house, and that's in the nines. So, but that's probably the highest priced product that I have right now.
And the rest in the other five are down the sevens?
Well, there's, yeah, in the sevens.
Okay.
And some of the ones in the sixes.
Now, you brought up... talking with John Blankenship, who's been building since the 1960s. You've been in Santa Barbara?
Actually, yeah, at UCSB in 60, but building since about 70, 71.
Okay, so you've been around. You've seen the ups and downs, the interest rates hit.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
if you saw 81 with the prime at 21 and three quarters, you've seen it. I think I've seen it. So.
Man. So you mentioned that condo complex on Modoc. I remember reading some letter to the editor where someone was really disheartened by seeing that there. I don't know. It's a kind of a busy corner, or it's right next to the tracks. And when I finally went to see it, you enter through Modoc. It's quite lovely and quite a little courtyard effect. But I spoke to one of the owners. I think there was maybe a partnership, and once they just started breaking ground, and he told me I think they ended up, do you know the makeup, the breakdown on affordable and market?
Well, what I heard when I was there with about 80 other people was was the fact that six of the front units are affordable, which is 50%, and six of them were market rate at the $1,675,000 or something. And,
yeah.
And it is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. It is a beautiful.
It's beautiful,
designed and well done on the construction part.
But it doesn't. That confirms what I thought, six and six, and that doesn't represent what we said with the county being 25%. If they built 12 units, they should have three affordable.
That's affirmative. So I would really like to know what happened on that, or if they were forced into it, or they gladly did that. I just don't understand it.
Why don't you call Ed Moses and ask him?
Okay, I'll call Ed.
Now,
he's leaving town, though, unfortunately.
I know. I know. We're going to have a goodbye party for him.
Okay.
Down at the fig tree.
Okay.
So the weird part about this story is I'm talking to this developer, owner, and he tells me that he offered to the county. Now, I don't know if it was to build 12 units or how many units it was going to be. He offered to do something like you're doing on West Pedregosa, trying to do stuff in the maybe sevens.
Mm-hmm.
Try to do middle of the road, and people are always complaining about, you know, Santa Barbara's built for the rich and, you know, these big high-end condos. So he wanted to do something. Let me just do a market thing. Let me hit those people who are a necessary cog of Santa Barbara, who are out there, and let's build them affordable condos, something mid-range, you know, type affordable, instead of having a few select lucky people. That sometimes might be qualifying to this program, and that's a whole nother show.
Right.
But that's what they wanted to do, and they wouldn't let them do it. And now somehow they ended up with six and six. That's just phenomenal.
Well, that's really hard. I even if they were given the dirt, it's just hard for me to see how you crunch the numbers after 3.5 years of brain damage and fighting and trying to deal with where there are hardly any subs left and the cost of construction going up so radically during this period, how they could possibly come out.
Hey, John, you mentioned dirt. I want to actually have a couple more questions for you about dirt and what people are paying for dirt. And, the, you know, I think was it that one-third, one-third, one-third rule that we talked about one time?
Well,
Don't tell them now. I've got to take a break. I've got a hard number on this break here. And stay tuned. We'll come back with John Blankenship. We'll talk about this ratio of what a developer pay for dirt and then maybe touch on that little urban village idea down at the bus station. See if they're going to call John and have him guide him on that. They should. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, 564-1290. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.